This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
To his account. He would write on many topics, and I counted his works and found them to be 1,000 in number. Later, I came to know of his works also. Having mentioned some of his books, Imam al-Dhahabi said, I don't know of a scholar who has written as much as this man has. The virtuous teacher, Abdul Hamid al-Ajuj, has written in his book on his works, which was printed in Baghdad in 1965. In this piece, he researched their titles, their copies, and the copies that had been printed and put them into alphabetical order. So whoever wishes to know these books should refer to this work, keeping in mind that many of the manuscripts mentioned have now been printed. He authored approximately 300 full books. 300 full books are written by Imam Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala. Some of them now, alhamdulillah, are starting to be translated into the English language to give them more wide accountability. He also, a considerable number of works in other fields of knowledge, he wrote what would be known as manuscripts, basically. Scholarly works on other scholarly works, etc. He has many, many of those. Ibn al-Jawzi rahimahullah ta'ala, and this is something that is known to be from the people of beauty. The people of beauty, and you'll find a lot of people that die like this. He died on a Friday. Died on a Friday. If you look back, you'll find many of great scholars of this religion died on Fridays. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever dies on a Friday, they are saved from the torment of the grave. And he died on a Friday in the month of Ramadan. He died on a Friday in the month of Ramadan, in the year 597 of the Hijrah. And he was buried next to, anybody knows where he's buried next to? Anybody happen to know where his graveyard is? But who's he buried next to? Imam Ahmad. He's buried directly next to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah ta'ala. What company? Today on a Friday, the month of Ramadan, and to be buried next to Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, one of the great scholars of this religion who protected the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his life. One day we will, one of the next series is going to be on some of the different scholars. And if you understand the life of Imam Ahmad and why he did what he did, why he suffered what he suffered, it was for that book alone. That book, one statement about that book alone that he would not budge on at all because he understood the implications of it. He suffered so much. Now we cry about a little bit of indifference that we get. None of us would go through the way he went through simply because someone said something about the book of Allah being created or not created. These men were just built different. And that's the reason why this religion has survived to this day in the way that it has, unaltered, untampered with, unchanged since the time it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. This is why Allah says the ulama are the ones who truly fear him. The ulama are truly the ones who fear him. And the Prophet ﷺ said that the ulama are my inheritors. I leave behind nothing. No money, no gold, no kingdom. I leave behind knowledge. And the inheritors of that knowledge are the scholars. This is why we give them the respect that we give them. To speak ill of them is tantamount to speaking ill of this religion. They have earned their status. They've earned their right. If you ever get a chance to say, I'm talking about scholars, mountains of knowledge. I've had the chance to sit with many of them, alhamdulillah, has blessed me in that fact. When you have a chance to sit with them and speak with them, you realize you're speaking to a different caliber of human being. A different caliber of human being, someone who would not reach the level they've reached without the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one gets that status without Allah's help. No one gains that love of the people, that love of knowledge, that capacity to understand knowledge, that capacity to memorize things and then pass them on to other people without Allah's blessing. Trust me on this. Scholars are due our respect. He was buried in Iraq in what is known as Bab al-Harb, next to Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala. Now his introduction, and this is where we'll leave it till tomorrow, next week, and then we'll get into the book inshallah. He starts off by saying, as all they always do, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. May the peace and blessings be upon our master Muhammad, his family, and his companions. He said, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah, the one who set the scale of justice in the hands of those who contemplate. You have to understand, I'd like to be able to go through this in Arabic as well, because Ibn al-Jawzi was a poet. And when you read his original writings, you understand he had the understandings of balagha. He had the understandings of how to frame things in a manner that the English language does absolutely very little justice to. But I know the actual brother who did this translation, and he did a very, very decent job, the best of his ability, knowing that English is a very hard language to translate anything into, because English is terrible. I say this all the time. English is the worst, if not the weakest language on planet Earth. I mean, many of you have seen the memes about how many words we have that sound exactly the same and spelled completely different. Deer, night, like, it's confusing. I would hate to be a person who tried to learn English as a second language, because I would be looking at the teacher like, what? Like, this makes absolutely no grammatical sense. None whatsoever. But I digress. All praise is due to Allah, the one who set the scale of justice in the hands of those who contemplate. And he sent messengers with glad tidings of a good reward and a warning of punishment. He revealed to them books to clarify errors and make correctness on earth. And he made his Sharia perfect with no default or deficiency. I praise him the praise of someone that knows that he is. I praise him the praise of someone who knows that it is he who initiates all causes. That phrase alone is just amazingly beautiful. That he is the initiator of cause. He is the reason of reason. He is the B of B. That is the highest form of praise to give Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To praise the one who is the reason, the only reason, the kun of everything, the B of everything. Without him, there is nothing. The humbleness to know that everything, every little speck of dust, dirt, bug, ant, human, animal, star, whatever it is, the reason is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why he deserves alhamd. Alhamd belongs to him, because he has the right. This is what we learn in Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, that we give Allah praise because he deserves it. He's earned it for the fact that we exist. And I tell this to people who don't understand Islam and Muslims, that you're able to have this argument with me because of Allah. Do you understand now the depthness and why I say that no one can go to Jannah without this religion, without accepting Allah as who he is? How could you go to a paradise that he created when you won't even acknowledge him? And you use the very gifts that he gave you to argue and deny. And you think you, just by being a good person, have earned something? There is no good except what Allah has given you. You don't do good for any reason. If you went out and helped another person, it's because Allah facilitated you to do so. And the fact that you don't acknowledge that is why you deserve hell. And the only people who enter here are the people who choose to go there. You choose willingly to walk into that blazing fire. And it is, Allah says in the Quran that none of them will blame Allah. They will blame themselves. They'll blame themselves. If only we had an aqal, if only we had used our brains, we wouldn't be here. If only we had used our sense, we wouldn't be here. Yes or no? What Allah says in the Quran, the people of hellfire will say, if only we had used our sense, we wouldn't be here. I'm asking them to use it now. Don't have it then. when it's too clear, use it now. I praise him with the praise of someone who knows that he is the initiator of causes, and I bear witness of his oneness, a testimony that is sincere and free of any doubt. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. He sent him after kufr had veiled the face of Iman. He sent him after kufr, disbelief, had veiled, had covered over the face of Iman on this earth. So he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, eliminated the darkness with the light of truth, and he pulled back that veil. And he directed people to that which was revealed to him and clarified the ambiguities of Allah's book, leaving them on a white platform on which there is no crack or delusion. He said the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam left the people on a white platform, meaning that any speck of dust could be seen. There was no cracks or delusion. He didn't leave them without knowing everything they needed to know. There was no question about this religion on the death of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So may Allah's blessings be upon him, the entirety of his family and his companions, and may his blessings be upon the righteous followers of them until the day of judgment and great accountability. Amma ba'd, as to what follows. Truly the great blessings of mankind is that of possessing an intellect, because it is the tool for knowing the one worthy of worship and being known. It is the means for believing in the messengers. However, because human intellect is not sufficient to fulfill all that is expected of a person, the messengers were sent and the books were revealed. The example of Sharia is that of the sun, and the example of the intellect is that of the eye. The sun is bright, beautiful, it gives everything we need. The eye allows us to see it. He said that is the intellect compared to the Sharia. The Sharia is perfect and beautiful and gives us everything we need to know. The intellect just allows us to see it and accept it. If the eye is open and sound, it will see the sun. Meaning that if the intellect is open and sound, it will see the wisdom and the sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it will accept it. When the human intellect confirmed the truthfulness of the prophets, who were supported by supernatural miracles and evidences, it surrendered to them and relied upon prophets for knowing its hidden matters. As Allah the Almighty and Majestic has blessed mankind with having an intellect, he made their father Adam alayhi salam a prophet. He taught Allah's revelation in order for mankind to be guided upon the straight path, until Qabil decided to follow his desires and kill his brother. Then people's desires branched out, causing them to scatter in their desires of falsehood to the point of worshipping idols. They deviated over issues of aqeedah, action, and disagreed with their messengers. Hence, their own intellect became their own destruction. They followed their desires, swayed towards their habits, and mimicked their elders. Iblis's expectations of them became true, so they followed him, except for a group of believers. And this is the way it has always been. And this is the way it has always been. Know that the messengers brought sufficient clarifications, confronted diseases with healing medicine, and agreed over a consistent doctrine. So the devil Iblis came forth and mixed their clarification with doubt and medicine with poison and a clear path of areas of falsehood and doubt. He continued to meddle with people's minds until he disintegrated them into ignorance, leading them towards many foolish paths and hideous innovations. So they worship idols in the sacred house, and they made forbidden to them Bahira, Sabira, Wasila, and Ham. This refers to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, innovations basically, when Allah says that they put things in that don't belong there. They adopted burying their daughters alive and deprived them from their share of inheritance. In addition, they innovated many forms of falsehood of which Iblis has convinced them to do. Then Allah the Almighty and Majestic sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to remove all the things that are appalling, and to decree all things advantageous. His companions walked with him, and after his death, they walked through the illumination of his light, free from their enemy Iblis and his deception. However, when the light of their messenger's presence diminished, the haze of darkness arrived on this earth again, and desires returned to regenerate innovations and to make narrow paths that had been made wide. So the majority of people disputed over the matters of religion and became different sects, and Iblis became active again. He deceived and camouflaged and gathered and divided. He was only able to do so while creeping during the night of ignorance. Had the dawn of knowledge shone on him, he would have been exposed. So I decided to warn you from his plot and to point out for you his traps so that you can identify his evil and be warned from it. It was reported in both Sahih on the authority of Hudhayfa ibn Yaman radiallahu anhuma that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, people used to ask Allah's Messenger about goodness while I asked him about evil. Hudhayfa said, people used to ask the Prophet about khair and I would ask him about shar so that I could protect myself from it. While the people wanted to know what was good so they could do it, I wanted to know what was evil so I could stay away from it. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma said, by Allah, I don't believe that shaitan would like for anyone on earth to die more than me. Ibn Abbas said, I don't believe that shaitan, this was at his time after the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, said, I don't believe shaitan would like anyone on this earth to die more than me. He was asked why. He replied, by Allah, he innovates something in the east or in the west. Then a man carries it to me and I destroy it with the sunnah. Shaitan brings about innovation in this religion on the east or the west. And someone carries it to me and I destroy it with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So the innovations return back to them, to shaitan. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in a hadith that someone who revives my sunnah, someone who revives my sunnah at a time of ignorance, at a time of innovation and deviance, will receive the reward of the death of a shaheed. He will receive the reward of the death of a shaheed for reviving the sunnah. I titled this book, Talbis Iblis, The Deception of Iblis. He didn't even give him the acknowledgement of being shaitan. He called him by his name. Called him straight out, Iblis. His deception. I composed it to warn you from his disorder, to frighten you from his affliction, and to unveil from you what he is hidden, and to expose him while he is disguised in arrogance. May Allah support us in this by his generosity and all those who are genuine to their cause. I divided this book into 13 chapters. The deception of Iblis will become exposed if you understand them, and his fraudulence will become clear to someone of wisdom. So whoever becomes energetic, acting upon these chapters, the shaitan will become annoyed by him. Oh Allah, help me in what I am aiming for and inspire me in truth for what I have intended. That's the book we're about to go through, inshallah ta'ala, and the reason behind it and the man behind it. It is a beautiful book. It is a book that if you learn the plot in it, you will have armor against shaitan. And we all could use some armor in today's world because he's very, very deceitful. He's very deceptive. He knows you better than you know you. He has been at deceiving mankind since the very first of us. He's had more practice than you can ever have. He's smarter than you. Trust me, when it comes to how he is deceitful, he's smarter than you. The only sanctity, the only safety you have from shaitan is in this religion. It is in that book, and it is in the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Without that, you are lost. You are lost. The reason why there are so many deviated sects of this religion is because they tried to use this rather than that. They tried to use this rather than what Allah and His Messenger revealed, thinking that they somehow had some wisdom that wasn't available at the time of the Prophet ﷺ or his companions. We are not going to be of those people, inshaAllah. Because to stay on the straight path, you have to be on the path the companions were on. Because Allah promises that He was pleased with them, and they were pleased with Him. To stay on their path is to stay on the path of Jannah. And that is where we're going to expose Iblis, inshaAllah ta'ala, through the next 13 chapters of this book, which will take some time. It is a 600-page book. So we will be here for a while, inshaAllah ta'ala, as long as I'm here. I look forward to seeing you guys on Wednesday. On Wednesday, we'll go back to our...